grace, mercy, and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. A bad day of fishing is better than a good day at work, isn't it? That's what they say. A day sitting out on a nice, tranquil lake doing nothing but watching a bobber do nothing. Maybe for hours on end is so much more fabulous than a great day of accomplishment at work. That's what they say. And I'll admit that being out on the boat, sitting there doing nothing for a couple of hours really beats out raking the yard, cleaning the house, doing the laundry, or any other work. But that's not how it was for Simon Peter in our gospel lesson today. No. He had a really bad night of fishing. And he was trying to do his job, trying to make his living to provide for his family and perhaps the families of those who work for it. And he also had the responsibility of supplying people in that area with fresh fish. He had rather important responsibilities, don't you think? And then this Jesus of Nazareth comes and jumps into his fishing boat and tells him what to do, interrupting the all-important cleaning of his valuable fishing nets. So a long night of bad fishing and then a disrupted morning, wouldn't you imagine Simon Peter just wanted to go home and crawl into bed? St. Luke does well to answer all the pertinent questions for us here today. The who, the where, the why. It's all very catechetical, which means it's all a very good teaching moment in these verses that we have for our gospel today. The whole of our gospel reading today is about the teaching and the hearing of God's word by and through Jesus Christ himself. The who also involves a lot of other people. Because gathered in this reading today is a crowd, is what Luke said. And here at the start of our Lord's ministry on earth, we'll often hear about crowds gathering around Jesus whenever he spoke out in public. But Luke points out that this crowd was quite intent on hearing the word of God. They were pressing in on him to hear, is what Luke said. Everything else we hear after that merely follows Jesus' preaching. But this large group of people were wanting to get closer and a better understanding of what God wanted them to hear and know. Obviously, there wasn't any local cable channels on the TV, nor had the internet even sprung up yet. No radio, no smartphones or tablets to occupy one's time, but you know, surely there had to be other activities that would keep these people busy and doing things. So they wanted to hear God's word. And they took every opportunity to get a better understanding of what God chose for them to know. Kind of makes one ask, what are we here for today? Then also in this lesson today, it's loaded with a lot of terminology about fishing. Things like water, boats, nets. So much so that might you suppose God is seriously wanting you and I to equate fishing as a metaphor for the work of Jesus and his disciples. Maybe it's a lesson God has chosen for you and I to learn today about the Lord's Great Commission. So they're already all at the lake. And the first word of the text that it offers about fishing, it uses the word boats. I like got a lot of lakes around here. Mine's all covered up, covered in ice and everything right now. Jesus goes down to the boat. He uses the boat for teaching. And later, the boats receive such a great catch of fish, they begin to sink. And then get this. Did you ever notice this in this reading? The boats seem to be absent-mindedly left behind when Peter, James, and John abandon them to follow Jesus. This is how serious these men whose primary tool for their work was the boat, they now considered the calling of the Lord to this new profession to be fishers of men. They walked away and left their boats behind. So the object of this lesson then being, what will you lay aside? What activity, device, possession might you cast out of your way to heed the calling of Jesus to be a fisher of men? Now it's important to note that Jesus used one boat as a place from which he would proclaim the word of God. The boat that Jesus got into then became the church. It's then noteworthy that the church had this in mind when they named the part of the sanctuary the nave, right here. And nave is a Latin word meaning boat or ship. Now, if you know anything about the construction of a boat or a ship, it has these ribs. You ever look up in the church? Kind of looks like an upside down boat. Maybe about the size of the earth. Now, there's a miracle taking place in the gospel reading today. And it's so much greater than just a large load of fish that was caught. It's the miracle of the creation of the Church of Christ. This is when it began. This is the moment the church began. It's about the establishment of the teaching and preaching of God's word in the church. It took place in a boat, of all places. And Jesus did it here in our hearing. From a boat. Again, look up. How can you miss this every time you walk into the sanctuary? But that's our goal here. The primary focus then of the church is to go and make disciples of all nations. That's the primary reason we're here. And that's to bring others to the knowledge of Jesus and the salvation won by him upon the cross. There's another fishing word used in our text today that oftentimes gets a quick glossing over, and it's often ignored and seldom considered when hearing this lesson of Christ's early teaching by the Sea of Galilee here, and that's the nets. The nets. The nets are very important here. It was always customary for fishermen back then and even today when they used nets for their fishing to clean these nets after they caught a lot of fish. If you've ever caught a lot of fish, they get up a lot of gunk all over these nets. And you pay a lot of money for these nets. It's real expensive. So it's best to keep these nets clean. So after you've gone fishing, you know, you got to wash these nets. So it was then customary for fishermen back then to wash their nets after catching a lot of fish. But in your hearing today, did you see this? We find Peter, James, and John washing their nets after they caught no fish the whole night. Why is that? St. Luke must have thought it important to put this little part in here about them sitting there washing their nets, because Luke speaks about these nets four times in this lesson. He talks about the nets. The net is the difference between being loose in the water and being caught in the boat. As one is brought from being loose to being caught is a transition affected by only a miracle of God and His mighty presence. The men couldn't catch a fish all night long, but at the word of Jesus, their nets were filled to overflowing because of the word of Christ. Nets that hadn't been dirtied by any fish, they had been prepared to serve as a vehicle for the Lord and His miraculous work in His new creation. You are His new creation. God's own Son had come into our lives to save us from our sins. And the nets are the means by which one is brought into the church. This lesson today is about catching men alive through the ministry of the means of grace, God's holy word and His sacraments. Hence, the Church of Christ has been established. And here we are. And God has called each of us then to be apostles. He's called us to be disciples. No, not everyone is to go out and leave their jobs, their family, and their homes, and go out and preach and follow Jesus. It's not what he's saying here. Because St. Peter says later in his epistle, he says, in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason for the hope that is in you. Yet do it with gentleness and respect. You see, you and I have been called by God to share the good news of our salvation and our glorious hope of an eternity in heaven. Jesus has already said to you, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And many, many who know that they are called by Christ, many are riddled with self-doubt and maybe a big fear of failure, so they never even try. And by that I mean, you see a sin and you just don't say anything about it, or you see someone suffering or in need of hearing a good word. Maybe they're in turmoil or in trouble. They need to hear something about the Word of God, and we remain silent. Simon Peter, in our text today, he doubted that casting his nets would be of any success. That is until he heard the Word of Christ. And I've too heard too many times folks passing the responsibility to someone or anyone else other than themselves to take part in the all too important work of sharing the love of Christ to thirsty souls aching to hear what God has planned for them in their lives. St. Paul told the Romans that the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. I love that. That's how I know I'm a pastor now, and I'll always be a pastor. It's like it's never to be taken away. Just as your calling to be a disciple of Christ, it's not ever being taken away. You will always remain a disciple of Christ. What God has called you to now will be forever applicable. It will stay with you. And know this, my dear friends in Christ, we know that Jesus Christ scored his victory and ours on that first Good Friday. He accomplished precisely what he had come to do. He died although he was innocent, and he carried our sins upon that terrible cross. He paid the penalty and set us free from sin, death, and the devil. and he released us from the power of Satan by dying in a way that only appeared to be helpless and defeated. By his stripes we are healed, and because he suffered for your sins, you are forgiven. We all are. So it's not your successes that God calls you to. Peter's mighty load of fish wasn't his success, it was the Lord's. You may feel insignificant. You may judge your own efforts as useless or ineffective. It may seem to you and everyone around you that your faithfulness in Christ is foolish or pointless. No. And know this, the devil is certainly going to suggest to you that it's not worth your efforts. And he'll even invite you to despair over it. But success of being a fisher of men belongs to the Lord. Do you remember reading this somewhere? I believe that I cannot by my own reason or strength believe in Jesus Christ, my Lord, or come to him. But the Holy Spirit has called me by the gospel, enlightened me with his gifts, sanctified and kept me in the true faith. In the same way he calls, gathers, enlightens, and sanctifies the whole Christian church on earth and keeps it with Jesus Christ in the one true faith. We are God's holy people, and as such, we cannot fail. God himself is with you to bless you. He's here to guide you, and he will keep you. He doesn't ask us to know or to understand every moment of every detail of his plan. He calls to us to be faithful. He invites us to believe his promises, to trust in him with all our hearts, to let down the nets even when we've spent the night fruitlessly working and have nothing to show for it. And we're to remain faithful. So I've got a new one for you. A bad day of sharing the love of God sure beats a good day of fishing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now may the peace which surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and minds in the risen Christ Jesus.